Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. I'm Paul.
I am John.
And today is episode 47 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Guardian.
This episode was written by Hiro Masaki, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, Galvatron and Starscream battled over the Omega Lock while the Autobots stood to the side and watched for the most part. And in this episode, the kids recap that the dimensional gate or warp tunnel or whatever it is we're calling it, space bridge in a bit, is closing.
Yep, and they are worried, and Bud tells Optimus, Bud just does melodramatic, like, oh, we're doomed. No, but seriously, guys, tell Lori everything will be fine. She seems to be worried because we can get back home, right? Right?
And we have like our opening bumper. Optimus is basically like, I don't know how we'll do it, but we'll get home. And then there was a line here where Bud says something like, hey, look, we're doomed for like the 15th time. This is no big deal. I kind of like his flippant attitude in this episode, but later he gets a little dense. But then he turns to Red Alert, who's like, yeah, I got nothing.
Yep. And Jetfire worries that if they can't get back, the black hole will destroy everything, except they can't do shit without the Omega Lock that Galvatron has now anyway. So like, even if you get back, you still got to get that thing.
And then Vector Prime starts to ponder and Jolt and says, no, you just can't. And nobody asks what he's talking about.
Yeah, Jolt just seems to know what Vector Prime is thinking. And Optimus is like, all right, I have an idea. We'll build our own space bridge, which first they think they can't do at all. And then they think, oh, well, we can build it, but we can't power it. Then they remember, oh, wait, we have three starships they can use to power it. And they have the best team in the business right here to build stuff. So they split up, I guess. The Cybertron Defense team's going to get the power all set up, and everybody else will build this thing.
There's a moment here where I realized what Gary Chalk does really, really well as Optimus. I may have said this on the show before, because this is like, what, our fourth or fifth series of watching Gary Chalk as Optimus. When he gets into motivational speeches and like, hey, we're not going to quit, we're going to do this and we're going to do it right, he really brings his A game. And he's doing that here. It's a great motivational speech. But yeah, like you said, they all split up. A couple of the Autobots are digging out the Atlantis because it's still buried in concrete. And then Override changes a couple wires, and then suddenly they got the thing done.
Yeah, and as they're working, Quick Mix very briefly says that the original space bridge that the Omega Lock opened for them was anchored to a generator on Cybertron, so they're going to aim this one at that, I guess. And yeah, next thing you know, they got it finished, all shined up, two coats of wax, and Kobe's like, wow, isn't it great? Isn't it great, Lori? Look how shiny it is out there in the sun. Wow. And she's like, well, if you love it so much, why don't you marry it?
They had two very oddly animated faces in this. Kobe's got like a little star eyes. Lori's got a kind of annoyed, like classic annoyed anime face. But yeah, they
with the big drop of water that appears in the forehead.
yeah, they power up this thing, all this space bridge, the generator, all three ships. They send out beams of energy and a warp gate opens and everybody goes, wow. And Vector Prime goes,
Yeah, the thing actually works. But then out of the bridge come hundreds of what look like flyers.
That's right, it's a brand new toy, it's a brand new Transformer. It's Laserbeak!
This isn't the first time we've seen this Laserbeak,
Kermit. And Laserbeak!
Yeah, we know who he is,
and
but
And Laserbeak! 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 And Laserbeak!
Yeah, so there's a bunch of Laserbeaks, like hundreds, maybe 1,000 of them, that just come pouring out of this thing.
Yeah, and Red Alert says they're from Planet X and they've gone feral, which Optimus immediately translates for us at home, I guess, because he's like, yes, like wild animals. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what feral means. Thank you, Optimus. And then Optimus goes into super ultra mode, whatever. I don't even know the name of this thing, but he goes super mode and starts firing at the laser beaks, but there's too many of them.
Yeah, at one point, Metroplex gets out the saw and a stick with a can opener thing on the other end. And if you thought that was the best thing ever before, now it's also a boomerang. So he throws that and it hits a bunch of shit and still comes back to him. And they knock him down and they swing down like that and rip out his teeth in his face. But yeah, Red Alert's like, the birds are going to beat us by attrition. which Hotshot confuses with addition. That kind of made me laugh. He's like, dude, what's with the math? Just keep shooting.
And then Optimus says, hey, they're trying to destroy the space bridge. So Vector Prime, being the genius it is, runs over and destroys the space bridge so the Laserbeaks can't destroy the space bridge.
Yeah, he's like, very briefly, Scattershot has one very quick line about, I can't shut it down or I can't close it or something. So I guess it did need to come to that. But yeah, he just runs up and gets out the sword and hacks this thing clean in half diagonally.
But these things were trying to destroy the space bridge. Optimus said that. So just stand back and let it, like, it made no sense.
Yes.
And coming up here, this is when
speaking
I realized...
Speaking of things that make no sense.
This is... So the thing closes and they all fade away because I guess that's how space bridges work in this episode. But then this kind of cheesed me off where I realized the critical flaw of Gary Chalk's Optimus Prime, or at least the Optimus Prime in the Unicron trilogy. He only wants to win if everything is perfect. Nobody can die, no kids can get hurt, no planets can be lost, and if there's a slim possibility of losing anything, he has to kibosh the plan and start from scratch.
Like a 97 is not good enough for this guy. It's got to be 100. Yeah.
Exactly.
But now the generator's destroyed, and Jetfire thinks everything is hopeless now, but Optimus tells Vector Prime he did the right thing, you know, destroying that thing, because the birds would have eaten the planet or some stupid shit. They would have destroyed the generator. And they suggest just fixing the thing and trying again, but then Scattershot says, well, the problem, the reason why that it didn't go to Earth, but these guys came in instead, is that we didn't have enough power. Even with 3 starships, there's not enough power here to actually get this thing to work. So, like, didn't they realize that before?
There's a lot of, for what is an okay episode with a hell of a gut punch at the end, there is a lot of nonsensical rules that are just being arbitrarily applied and retconned. But then Vector Prime says what he can do is, is this when he says that he's going to, like, reverse time?
Well, Metroplex asks them, all right, look, you guys got here long before there was a space bridge in the sky. You got here somehow. Just go back the way you came, right? And they point out the warp tunnel they came through has closed.
Oh, okay. This thing that a year.
And it won't open for a year. How do you know that?
and like, what year? Is that an Earth year, a Gigantian year, a Cybertronian year? Again, no rules. The rules they try to imply and impose in this episode just make it so that there are no rules, because then Vector Prime says, okay, I'm going to reverse time so we can, to the point when the warp gate was, or warp tunnel was open, and we'll fly back through. So wouldn't that negate everything that happened, and now they don't have the fourth lock or key or orb or whatever?
Well, yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, or like Decepticons are going to come back, or none of that is going to happen. And the Autobots are all like, well, why didn't you say you could do that? And why did we build that stupid generator? And then Jolt just starts freaking out. And he tells Vector Prime that the Autobots need to know the cost of what he's planning.
And that cost is that Vector Prime will die. Commercial break.
And when we come back, Optimus takes that option right off the table. Just getting back to your point, it's either all or nothing. If we don't get 100, there's no point in doing it. And Vector Prime says, look, that black hole has to be stopped no matter the cost. You said it yourself different times.
Yeah, and then he gives us, there's a lot of Vector Prime monologuing this, but he starts to monologue and explain that he's traveled into the future and he saw a barrier, and on the other side of that barrier was nothingness, because the black hole isn't just a black hole, it's an ending of all time.
Yeah, he calls it the end of time.
Yes. And then the kids continue to protest him sacrificing himself, even though they were just told everything will cease to exist if he doesn't do this.
Yep. And this makes it pretty clear here that Gary Chalk was just given his lines and only his lines and had no context or any background story for this episode or anything, because he says everyone here has put his life on the line, and then it immediately shows Override's face. And then he says, I can't let you sacrifice yourselves. As if he's addressing all of the Autobots and not just Vector Prime.
Yeah, it's whatever. Like I said, we're working up to a hell of a gut punch. It's just not, like, it's really not there yet. So Vector Prime says, yeah, look, I'm going to fade away or whatever. I've got to do this, and it's a self-sacrifice. And then Jolt immediately explains that Vector Prime will still exist outside of time. It's just that none of them will ever see him again. He'll be fine, which, you know, nobody dies in this series.
The way they said it, it kind of reminded me, I want to say it's Mark Twain that said it, is that I would mangle the actual quote, but the crux of it is he doesn't fear death because he was dead for billions of years before he was alive, and it never bothered him a bit, right? So Vector Prime has always existed outside of time. He just entered what we know as reality, I guess. So now he's just going to go back to where he already was?
I guess. There's a lot of panning on the Autobots. There's some sappy music, and then Vector Prime nods to Optimus, and Optimus is like, all right, everybody, let's get those ships ready, and he starts walking off, and they just stand there and go,
yeah, the rest of the Autobots aren't quite as enthusiastic. And Bud runs to shake Vector Prime's hand to congratulate him. Vector Prime kneels down to, you know, oh, thank you, Bud, but what's the occasion? I think he says, well, you're getting a new job. Isn't this what you do when somebody gets a new job? You shake their hand?
Yeah, but I don't, like I said, Bud is kind of dense in this episode. He's had it explained to him bluntly a couple times now that Vector Prime is going to cease to exist as far as he's concerned, but he's like, yeah, you're happy days. And anyway, then Vector Prime gives Bud a treasure map that is incredibly important. Why wouldn't you give it to Optimus? Who cares? He gives it to Bud and says, keep it safe. And then he lets Safeguard out and says, you hang out with the Minicons and you all keep each other safe. And they all hug his shins.
Yes, because he's so much bigger. But then it shows the starships lifting off and they got the Atlantis out from underneath all that concrete. I just said Atlantis, didn't I? Atlantis. And the Lemuria, I think that's what that one was called. It flies out of the lake.
TGG.
And, oh, and then this is a really neat shot here. I really like this.
Yeah.
It shows Optimus and Vector Prime watching one of the ships flying in the distance with, like, they're right in front of the camera, and you see the sun setting behind the ship. So it's like the three layers kind of a thing.
It's actually, isn't it all three ships when they look up in the sky and the sun's, it's an amazing shot. It's going to be the title card of the episode. It's an incredible shot. But then Vector Prime flies off into space and just uses his magic sword to start to reverse time, and the warp tunnel opens. And then all this three starships enter.
Yeah, because the ships all zap their beams into his sword to power it up, kind of like they did with the generator earlier. We kind of skipped over that. But yeah, and Optimus goes all like Jean-Luc Picard, who's like, engage, when they advance into the warp tunnel. And he tells them all to stay focused. So I guess we're still insisting on that you got to think happy thoughts bit to get through this thing.
Yeah, you got to think happy thoughts. But this time you didn't have to be confident and you didn't need your vaccine and you don't need the heart of a child or the brain of a kid or whatever it is. Like I said earlier, they're just retconning all the rules and it doesn't matter. There's kind of a neat thing here where as they're going through, they pass by themselves passing the other way. But this just, it like proves to me that the writers were writing this on the fly, because if they had to plan this out, it would have been really neat earlier on when they were headed toward Gigantion, if like these three ships kind of flittered and fluttered through existence beside them, and they were like, what was that? Anyway.
But yeah, Bud even waves to them and does like the how'd you get in your boat bit, but there's no reply. But wasn't the Atlantis, like, that Starscream and Sideways were on, right behind the Ki-GG firing at it when it was on its original way to Gigantion? Like, where the hell is that?
Yeah, that's another thing. They just see the one ship, and Bud is not even waving to himself, because, like, yeah, he'd be on the Atlantis. But anyway, then there's the classic moment where Vector Prime can't keep it up much longer, and then he can.
Yeah, stands back up and gives it everything he's got, I guess, because now things are moving even faster. I think Scattershot's like, oh, we're moving at double time, and they get out the other end of the warp tunnel and sync back up with the local time stream, I think is what Scattershot calls it.
And then a song called A Time to Part begins, and this is where the gut punch, the music helps it, but Vector Prime kind of starts to give his farewells. He's starting to fade away. Lori cries into Kobe's shoulder. I noticed that. And all the Autobots look on solemnly.
Yeah, and Vector Prime reminds us again he'll live forever in the hearts of the friends he's made and says farewell. And now all the kids are crying, not just Lori. And then it just goes right across all the Autobots standing there saluting Vector Prime as he just kind of collapses into this glowing ball that shatters and drifts away.
And we have flashbacks of Vector Prime, like in almost sepia, but it's throughout the entire series. The fun moments, hanging out on the beach, talking to Minicons, and the emotional music continues, and then Optimus says, engage!
To power this thing, they're going to need not one, but three starships, which they have, and they get them all wired up and let her rip. But oh shit, they left out a few parts and didn't torque the bolts. Next thing you know, they're under attack by feral birds from Planet X. Well, it had to be something, right? That's the animation model they had. That's what they used. And to deal with the birds, they're forced to destroy the generator, which closes the bridge and makes the birds disappear. That's too stupid to worry about, and we find out later the Autobots didn't have enough power anyway. But the point is, destroying the generator closes the space bridge. If it doesn't have power, it doesn't stay open. So how did they plan on getting home exactly had the thing actually worked, if the generator holding it open is using the ships as a power source? If they need more than one ship to power it, then it's a good bet they can't fly and power the thing at the same time, and even if they could, then what? Run some extension cords, tow the planet behind them in a rubber dinghy? Why can't they just build some power generators if they can build a space bridge thing, or use the one Gigantion already has somewhere? There's plenty of computers and elevators and fake sky panels still using power after all this time. There must be a source somewhere. Also, these guys open space bridges and warp gates and portals and shit all the time, especially the Decepticons. Why does this one need the thing to stay on to hold it open, other than because...
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. This episode was Guardian. Paul, what would you defend?
Wow, what an episode. Other than the birds was kind of ridiculous, not a bad episode at all, I wouldn't say. No Decepticons, and other than the birds, no fights, and I don't even think any transformations, but what an episode.
Optimus transformed into super mode when he fought all the laser beaks. But even, yeah, the kids that were there, they didn't, you know, get in the way and save the day. It was a pretty good episode. The retconning of all the rules of warp tunnels kind of annoyed me. It was 20 minutes of silliness that led up to 2 minutes of a great emotional moment.
Yeah, it wasn't the same kind of... Because, I mean, the comparison to Coda Hero here, obviously, you know, was coming, dear listener, but... It didn't have the same buildup that the Code of Hero had, where Dinobot is constantly like, yes, I know, override, like, just, I know, I'm gonna die, I don't care, I gotta do this. With this, it was just, everything's fine, and then it isn't.
Yeah, there was much more acceptance, whereas, like, Dinobot knew what was coming, but it was still a surprise to the audience. This, they established pretty early in the episode, Vector Prime's gonna be gone. Bye. Although with this series, I'm almost certain he'll show up in the last episode somehow, if not the next one.
Or in Visions or something, like a Jedi where they appear as a ghost in the swamp.
Yeah,
and say,
the
oh,
ghost
you
of Egon Spengler.
And
yeah, again, not a bad episode, not a great episode, but a solid one. Like I said, the last 2 minutes made up for everything else.
Oh, that was very well done.
And that shot of the ships leaving with Optimus and Vector Prime, maybe the best shot of this series. Like, everything about it was bang on. So the next episode Paul and I are going to review is Homecoming. If you want a date to the dance, you can email this show at transformersnitpickers@gmail.com. Everybody has Homecoming dance, right? That's the thing?
Okay, maybe. Make sure you rate and review us in your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
So, dear listener, it's kind of like a dance or an event that I think it's like when the school year starts and all the alumni come back to... It happens in small towns. All the alumni come back to town and there's like events. You know, big dance at the fire hall. Paul and I are rednecks. We should have said that. We grew up in like podunk nowhere. But you can find old episodes of the show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com. And until the next episode, keep on transforming.
See you later. Dude, what's with the math?